Well, praise God. Get your Bibles out. And if you would, go to the book of First Thessalonians. Now, I've been preaching on Wednesday nights about healing for the last few weeks, and I never more am impressed than I am that I'm hearing the Spirit of God, and there's a reason for it, okay? I mean, you know, sometimes I do preach, and sometimes I go home and I think, Lord, did I miss you on that one? Where did that message go? But I always, you know, I've learned in life to just listen, and listen to what God's saying, listen to what's going on, listen to what's happening in the world. I just saw a deal on the television this afternoon. It was talking about in 1918, the influenza that went around. They were talking about it compared to, you know, this swine flu, this, what are they calling it, H1N1 now, you know, and that this thing's still around, and, you know, there's some health scares and whatever, and they were talking about it, and they were comparing it. And they were giving some statistics, and I knew that in 1819, the influenza, the flu killed, you know, a lot of people, but I didn't know how many, but it was 400 million people worldwide died from the flu. That's a lot of people. How many people is in the United States? How many? 300 million? So then that's like killed everybody in the United States. That's what I'm saying. It's a lot of people, 400 million people. Now, this is talking about worldwide, over the whole world, all the third world countries and all that died. And nothing that could really be done. They had no modern medicines. They had nothing that could, you know, help on. And that was just the ones that died, not the ones that were actually, you know, lived through it or whatever. And, you know, they weren't saying this new virus is that bad, but they were just talking about, you know, the virus and whatever. And it made me start to think about how that it's a big difference when people are dropping dead around you, how much faith you are going to try to muster up, right? And so they were talking about this H1N1 virus that, you know, they're talking about wanting to vaccinate everybody for it, but they were talking about that. I thought this was funny again. And listen, folks, you know, I'm not speaking about ages and I'm not declaring anything else, but man, it seems like senior citizens used to be honored. But nowadays, senior citizens, man, they're getting the raw end of the deal and everything. I mean, if you listen to the new healthcare stuff they're talking about, I mean, it's like, oh, man, you crossed on, so sorry, just out to the pasture. They said this, the big poopah, whoever his name is, that is in charge of the healthcare deal, not the healthcare, but the whatever, the guy that takes care of the drugs. And he said that they're only going to make like 20, they only have like 25 million doses of swine flu vaccine. And they were going to give it to those that were at health risk, the greatest health risk. And they used to always say the elderly. And they said they would not be on it. They would be last, that senior citizens would be the last to receive it. I'm like, what are they just trying to kill off all the old people so we don't have to pay them Social Security? Or what's the deal? I mean, it's crazy. I'm telling you, there's something devious in all of that, sinister in all of that. Anyway, I had to laugh about that. Anyways, I was thinking about it. I was thinking about, okay, so, I mean, let's just, you know, think about that for a minute. I mean, like literally, let's just say there was a health scare. There really was not a health scare. It was reality. There really were people dying. There was only so many doses of vaccine. You're not on the list. You're not going to get it. It's going around, logically, theoretically, you're going to get it. If you get it, you're going to die. You got to pray a little harder. Am I right? But I want to tell you something, and listen to me, and this is where I'm serious. I'm telling you, it's too late then. Right? It's too late then. Theoretically, you're going to get it. If you get it, you're going to die. You got to pray a little harder. Am I right? But I want to tell you something, and listen to me, and this is where I'm serious. I'm telling you, it's too late then. Right? It's too late then to try to build your faith in the area of believing God that He is a healer when you're sick. I've lived my life since I was saved by the principle that when I find a weakness in my life that I do not know, I do not understand, I don't have faith in, then I go find every scripture I can on that thing. I write those scriptures down. I read those scriptures. I build my faith. I look at them. I read them and say, Lord, you know, I mean, if it's love, I'm reading on love. Now, Lord, you said there's supposed to be love in my heart. I don't feel no love. And I confess those scriptures and pray those scriptures and read those scriptures. I find books on it. I read on it and I study until I can grab hold of the revelation of what Jesus is trying to say in that to me of what I'm supposed to be walking. It's the same thing about healing. We either come to the place in life and believe God that Jesus died on the cross for our sin and for our healing, or we have to believe the scriptures aren't true. And I've taken weeks on that showing you how the scriptures are emphatic that Jesus took. It was a full meal deal, right? He didn't just save your spirit. He didn't just save your soul. He saved your body. Now look here at the scripture here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, and I want to start here. It says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Do you see what Paul's saying here? He says he's going to sanctify you completely. That means he's going to cover all areas. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says completely means spirit, soul, and body. So that means if you're only living out of your body. Now, I believe we need to take care of our bodies. Our bodies are the temple of God. We need to do them. We need to do right. We need to exercise. You know those things. All those things. You need to eat right. All those things. I'm not against that. All right? But if that's all you do, you're missing it. If all you do is intellectual knowledge and all you do is gain knowledge and read books, and there's nothing wrong with reading books, there's nothing wrong with gaining knowledge. But if that's where you put all your focus, you're not doing it complete, whole. Likewise, if you are not walking in the spiritual dimension of life, you're not stretching yourselves. You're not endeavoring to know more and to walk in the Spirit more. You see, a lot of Christians just say, well, wait a minute, Pastor, what do you mean walking in the Spirit? I mean, I'm talking about, I'm on earth, I'm just walking on this earth, I'm just walking around here, you know. What do you mean walking in the Spirit? I'm talking about times when you sit down and have conversations with heaven and heaven talks back to you. I'm talking about praying until you can sense the presence of God in your home. I'm talking about walking in the Spirit to where it is a reality, a living part of your life, that you're communicating with heaven and the things in the realms of the Spirit are real to you. If you're not endeavoring to do that, if you're not looking into that, studying that, going, you're not, listen to me, you're missing one third of what God gave you. Listen to me. If you exercise and eat healthy and all, you should be healthy, you should get sick less, right? So then the same goes if you have knowledge and you gain knowledge and you stay away from sick people, you'd get sick less. But the bottom line is if you understood the things of the realms of the Spirit too, and you walked in there because Jesus bought our healing on the cross, well, then there's another whole third that can be brought into your life right there. Now, let's look at this a little bit. I've always divided it up like this because it's easy for me to understand. But your body, it's your earth suit. It's what we see. It's what you walk around in. It's what you got stuck with. You got it because your parents genetically created you like you are. God fearfully and wonderfully created you in your mother's womb, but they already put the DNA in there. So you're going to be tall, short, whatever, based upon the genetics that was made up in that earth suit you walk around in. The Bible says someday this earth suit's going to give up, the ghost. It's going to go to the ground in which you were created from. All right? But inside of you, each and every one of us are different. We all have different personalities. We all have different things that we know. I know things. I know spiritual things from the scriptures that I have never taught y'all. You don't know everything I know. All I'm saying is that I study all the time. I look at things all the time. I look at things and delve over into things that I never would utter from the pulpit because it's just about I'm just trying to learn it myself. And I mean, we're just trying to learn, live, and grow here. I mean, you know. But I want to know. All right? And the point is that you can develop your mind, you can look in your mind, and you can know more, and all of that is good, but that's the soulish part of you. It involves your personality, your mind, and your will, your emotions. All of it's wrapped up. It's hard to take it apart. It's like a ball of string. It's hard to pull it apart and get all the little pieces of it. I can't even attempt to go there. I'm just telling you, it's all wrapped up in your soul. Your mind, your will, your emotions, your personality, all of that is all wrapped up in that soul. But then there is the spirit side of you, the real you, the one that can step out of your earthly body and enter into heaven. Because the Bible says you're not going to heaven in this earth suit, thank God. That it gets changed into a heavenly heaven suit. Right? That never gets sick, never whatever. That's the other one. But your spirit, the real you, it's inside. It's using this. It's like you've got on a deep sea diving suit. It's got arms and hands and a face and all that. But that's not really you. You're inside it. Well, the real you's inside you. And until you come to a reality that the real you, the real born-again spirit, the eternal spirit that Jesus Christ made and created and is in you and he is in you and it's all in that, you get around and get hold of that realm. If you don't walk in that, if you never walk in it, you are one-third short on your capacity. Okay? Look at the person beside you and say, I don't want to be a third short. Right? I don't want to be a third short. So what I want to talk to you about is I want us to look at this tonight. I want to look at some of the things about the spirit side of you. All right? Now, let me use this as an example. If you sit down and get a cup of coffee, like I do every morning, and get a cup of coffee and open up my Bible, it's the first thing I do every morning. I go to eat breakfast, I go sit down, I get a cup of coffee, and I get my Bible out, and I begin to read. Okay, all of that's physical, right? My body had to go do it. You know, there's times I don't want to, other times I just want to stare out the window, right? But I go get my Bible. I don't feel like it. I'll be honest with you. I don't have angels flying around the house and fluttering, and it's like, you know, heaven dust falling upon me and the smell of the rose, sweet rose of Sharon as Jesus sits with me to have coffee. Like, no, I barely got my eyes on, but I can't see, can't focus. I'm trying to find my glasses, you know, and see what's going on and get my Bible out. And you know, I'm not much of a morning person. And so, I'm kind of grumpy about the whole situation, but I go do it. I'm telling my body what to do. My will, the soulish side of me, my will knows what I need to live that day. So my will is telling my body, get up, get your cup of coffee, get your Bible out, sit down here, shut up and read. Okay? As I begin to read the scriptures, and I'm just reading it, and it's words, and I'm just reading it, all of a sudden the Lord speaks to me and says, I want you to go to the book of Joel and read verse 23. Okay, I just tapped into the spiritual side. But see, I had to go through the body. I had to go through the soul to get to the spiritual side. Now, the only reason why I can do that is because for, 22 years I've been doing it. Now, this message I'm preaching to you, the other night, the Lord woke me up at 3 o'clock in the morning, spoke this message into my heart. I was just laying in bed. I don't do good when I wake up at night. And I said, Lord, okay, Holy Ghost, just seal this in my heart and tell me again in the morning. But why? See, the spiritual side. See, at night a lot of times, the Psalms, the Proverbs, even the book of Job talks about, the book of Joel talks about dreams and visions at night. God speaking to you. Why? Because you finally steal your mind, you steal your emotions, you steal your body, and then the spirit can speak to you. Okay? So, go here, go over here to 1 Corinthians. Let me show you this. Let me show you why this is important. Am I making sense? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 9, but it is written, eyes not seen, nor ears heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Now, a lot of people would stop right there and say, see, oh God, he's so deep. The mysteries of God are so vast, so amazing. It's just so hard to understand. You know, there's things that we just could never, ever understand. Well, then what about verse 10? But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. For we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is of God, who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Listen to me. God does not want to keep secrets from you. Now imagine this. God has been around forever, right? Don't you think he knows some things that you don't? You know, they've not yet been able to get hydrogen out of water on a successful rate to be able to burn fuel, you know, like a fossil fuel. They haven't been able, I mean, they can do it on a limited basis, but not. Don't you think God knows how to do it? When they split the atom and everybody thought they were so smart. God already knew that. Right? Okay, God knows all these things and he wants you to know them. It's like a vast library full of all the knowledge of that ever was, and he wants to give it to you so you can know it. So you know what to do when you're raising your children. You know what to do when you're gonna run your business or go buy a car or go do this or go do that. It's all there. So you could go to college. Nothing wrong with going to college. People should go to college. Go to college, learn everything that you could possibly learn out of a book. Feed your soul, but never know anything of the spirit and miss God. How much better to go to college, learn everything you possibly could. Come back, let God use that then for you to advance the kingdom of heaven on earth. Okay? I'm not knocking college. I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying you have got to understand. You've got to come to the revelation that God has vast wisdom out there that he wants to speak to you, but he's going to have to speak to you through the Spirit. Right? Go over here to 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. And And let me back up. Let me go to chapter 3 first. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's start reading in verse 7. It says, but if the ministry of death written and engraved on stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadfastly upon the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will not the ministry of the Spirit be more glorious? Now, when he says, isn't it funny that Paul calls it the ministry of death? He's talking about the Ten Commandments. He's talking about all the law that was written for Moses, that it was the ministry of death, because what it did is it told you all the things you shouldn't do. But it did not tell you anything about how to be strong enough not to do them. Right? So it was just a book of don'ts. So, you know, that's like, you know, that's just like, one of the things that's always bothered me about trying to diet is they tell you all the things you're not supposed to eat. Well, what after I've listened to everything that I'm not supposed to eat, I want to eat it. Right? And so it's the same thing that he's talking about with Moses. He said, look, this is a ministry of death because of the, just told you, Tracy, don't do this. You don't do that. And if you do that, then you're damned. If you do that, you're damned. And don't do that. And don't do this. And don't do that. But it didn't give you anything inside of you to live by or live for, okay? So he called it the ministry of death. He said, for the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness receives much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in the respect because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadfastly at the end that was passing away. But their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament because the veil is taken away in Christ. Now, you know, it's interesting because it talks about the veil, this veil. So that, have you ever tried to tell somebody or talk to somebody about the gospel and they just looked at you like, you know, you were crazy. You try to tell somebody about why do you go to church? Why do you go to church? You know, you say, oh, man, I go to church. I just love to go to church. You go to church. And there's a love in the church. And it just feels good. Everybody's like, ah. It's a veil. They're veiled. They can't see it. Doesn't mean anything to them because they've never been touched by the things of the Spirit. The day you got born again, the day you asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, the day you made a profession of faith and said, Jesus, I want you to come into my life, that day the Spirit of God touched you. And your spirit became alive and the veil was taken away and all of a sudden you begin to see things differently than you ever saw them before. Now, the sad thing is that if you walk in that unveiling long enough and it just becomes routine to you, then all of a sudden you just accept that fact and you forget what darkness used to be. He goes on here and he says, their minds are blind. Okay, verse 15. Even to this day when Moses read, the veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is a spirit. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all with unveiled faces behold as a mirror the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory just as the Spirit is of the Lord. Now, we're supposed to be better this year than we were last year. We're supposed to be sharper in the things of God, more faith than we had last year. We're supposed to be moving up, folks. We're supposed to be changing from glory to glory. You may be getting a few more wrinkles. You may be getting a little older, a little more gray hair. But inside of you, your spirit, you're supposed to be on steps. Yeah, the incline, thank you. You're supposed to be on an incline, going from glory to glory, getting more and more, and you're supposed to be able to look in the mirror and say, yeah, I remember when that used to make me stumble, and bless God it doesn't today. Y'all with me? That's knowing that you're being built up in the Spirit. That's knowing that you're in a good place, in a good church, being fed the gospel. You're doing whatever you're supposed to be doing. You're reading, you're praying, you're studying, you're doing your own homework. You're doing it. You're growing up, because when you come to the same trial that you went through the past year, now either maybe you got up quicker than when you did stumble, or something, you notice that there's growth in your life. Right? You know, I told you I'm taking this, God's taking me through this course on believing that God takes all bad things and turns them for good to those that love him. That's the scripture God's just pounding me with. And so, man, oh my gosh. You know, I told you about my pipe out of the concrete slab 6 foot in the wrong place, you know, and God, then by the time the day was over with it, it was all worked out and the walls were moved and everything got changed without me even telling anybody about it. And it ended up exactly where it needed to be. Glory to hallelujah. Well, then today, you know, another thing happens to me and I get another, you know, I just had victory in one area, and then immediately they call me back on the phone and say, hey, there's this bad thing. And so, you know, I just fell to pieces again. I started to get angry and I said, stop, what are you doing? Don't get mad. You know, God's going to take everything, but he's going to turn this thing around. You know, I just had my pipe experience. Right? But I mean, it's all I can do to hang on. Just hang on. And you know, I mean, I was losing it. Told my son what was going on. I was losing. I was so mad. I just wanted just to bite through a nail. And then in a minute, the phone rang and everything was okay. And I was like, why did I lose this energy on this deal? You were going to do it. You knew. But you see, God's birthing that in my life. He's bringing that about. Even today, it's so funny. I needed another welder and for tomorrow. And so I had to go down there and get some pipe, and I was talking to Dwayne. I said, man, you guys, you don't have too many welders tomorrow. And he says, well, matter of fact, we're not going to be working on that. And my guy can work. And I'm like, thank you, Jesus. I'll take him. You see, he works everything out, but I'd already freaked out. You follow me? Okay, we got to grow through that. I'm hoping that in a year from now, trouble arises. I said, this ain't nothing. Right? But I'm not there yet. But I'm growing. You follow me? I'm growing in that area. That's where we should be. We should be going from glory to glory. That's walking a life in the Spirit. That's how you know you're going somewhere in the Spirit. That's how you know you're developing in the Spirit. If you're not, if you're still being stumbled by the thing that you started out stumbling you, you're not growing in the Spirit. And you're not in tune with the things of the Spirit. You're not getting hold of things. You're losing a third of your production. Okay, so let's read on. Let me go to verse 4, chapter 4. Therefore, since we have this ministry, we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. For we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in the craftiness of handling the word of God deceitfully, but the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled from those that are perishing, whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Now listen to me. If the devil gets you not to believe, then you never walk in faith. If you never walk in faith, therefore you'll never walk in the Spirit. The devil knows what he's doing. When you find a person that says, I don't believe in the gospel, or I don't believe in Jesus, or I don't believe in miracles, just know they've never touched or tapped in or developed to that one whole third side of them, of the Spirit, because they have no faith to. And they never will walk in it. You can lay hands on them till their hair falls out, but until they operate in faith, they're never going to walk into the things of the Spirit. He goes on, he says, for it is God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, who shone into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God into the face of Jesus Christ. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What treasure? What's he talking about? The Spirit of God within us, in our spirit. Listen to me. God's Spirit is not, you know, I may get in trouble with this, but if you could take your earth suit and then you could find your soul. Let's just say your soul was your brain. All right? Let's just, you know how like a little drawing of a brain stuck in your head. Let's just say that was all your soul contained in there. And then inside of you, then you had a hole down here, and that's where the Spirit went. The Spirit didn't get in the brain, the Spirit didn't get in the body. It was housed in your spirit house, your little knower. You know, I always called it the knower. Is it a place you know all those things? A little knower down here, you know, down in your spirit. Matter of fact, even they talked about the gospels talk about the apostles talked about that is in your belly. The candle of the Lord is the spirit of the light in your belly. So, I mean, it's my mind, spirit, it's the Lord's. Full of the Spirit of God. So, let's just say it's like that, okay? He's talking about this treasure that you have in earthen vessels, this treasure, the Spirit of God in you. I heard a man say this the other day, and I never actually thought of this. I haven't tested it out, proved it out. I'm giving you secondhand information here, which may be wrong, but anyway, preach is good. That Christianity, that we can say that we know Jesus, we know who his mother was, we know where he was born. We know what his trade was. We know that he was crucified. And we know that he had followers. And we know that he was supposedly resurrected. And that his followers preached his gospel everywhere. All without ever reading the Bible. Because there's enough Jewish and Greek history and books out there to say that all that is true without ever even going to the Bible. No other religion can do that. No other religion can do that. Okay? Now, think about this. He said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. See, Jesus is so amazing, so awesome, so great. But in that realm of the Spirit, all of that, even that knowledge that's in books about Jesus, it can all be a natural thing and you miss the Spirit. You see, you can say, oh, yeah, he was resurrected, but what? Oh, wait. Resurrection, that's not soulish, that's not physical. I mean, physically he was resurrected, but you know what I'm saying? Didn't have to do. In other words, you've got to seek a certain amount of things of the gospel has to be by the Spirit. And it's not enough just to get saved, and that's the only time you encountered the Spirit of God to come and live in you when he wants to reveal everything in the world to you. He goes on, he says, verse 8, we are hard pressed on every side. Can I have an amen? Yet we're not crushed. Listen to this. Why? Because we have this treasure. We have this treasure. It's housed in your earthen vessel. The Spirit of God. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. Always caring about the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Jesus may also be manifest in our bodies. See, Paul says, look, you can hit my physical, you can hit my mental, you can hit my soul, but you hit my spirit, man, you done tapped into the power of God. You're hitting my spirit, man. Whoo, man, you're not going to touch that. You see, when a person gets depressed, the Bible says that it's anxiety in the heart that causes depression. Proverbs says that. So if it's anxiety in the heart, what happens? The devil gets in there and puts you in a situation in your mind that says that there's no way out, that you're in despair and despair is going to win. And when that anxiety comes into you, then your heart gets heavy. All of that is soulish and physical. But if you tapped into the third power of the Spirit on the inside of you, the third power that's within you, and got hold of the revelation of what the gospel says, man, wait. I'm hard pressed on every side, but man, I ain't crushed. Goliath, you won't mess with me. I'll pick up a rock and knock your block off. You see, When you touch into the realm of the spirit, all of a sudden you've tapped into all that heaven has. All of a sudden you're not dealing with your knowledge and your strength. Right? It's not your knowledge and your strength. All of a sudden you've got the power of the Spirit of God on the inside of you. Now, if you're never using it or never tapping into it, folks, I'm telling you, you do not have the real victory. The real victory is not what you can do with your mind. That's why all the Christian Scientologists and all that kind of stuff is so crazy, because they're trying to do some things with their mind. And it's a proven fact that if you laugh, you release enzymes in your body that make you feel good. Endorphins, thank you. Right? Now, that's all physical, and that's all soulish. But even the Bible says laughter doeth good like a medicine. So if you're going to say, well, the only joy I can bring is I'm just going to, I was just, ha, 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 ha. But if you've ever been touched by the Holy Ghost to where you got drunk in the Spirit, and you laughed in the Spirit, you had true Holy Ghost joy that overcame and overwhelmed you. And then all of a sudden, man, you knew what laughing in the Spirit really was. And when he said laughter doeth good like a medicine, you knew what a dose of the Holy Ghost produces. Right? Now, I'm glad for the little endorphins. You know, any kind of endorphin. In or out, I'll take it. If it makes me happy, it makes me feel good. Y'all with me? But you lost a third, because you didn't tap into what the Spirit had over here. You know, when I first started out with my Christian walk, I was scared of the things of the Spirit, because it was unknown to me. And there were so many things that would happen. I remember going to worship services and there in Concan, in that little Yahweh retreat, and Mom and Papa Dodge were preaching. And I remember it was the very first time that I went in there, and I was just, you know, I mean, I was sold out for God. Man, I love Jesus. I was sold out, saved, born again to the core. And I would just stand there, and they'd be singing these little songs. I didn't know any of them. Never even heard them in my life. I didn't sing songs like we sang in the church I was raised in. I didn't know what they were. I was just standing there. But I just closed my eyes and start worshiping God in my heart, and it started saying, man, I love you, Jesus. You know, thank you so much for saving me. And I remember standing there, and I remember feeling like the environment around me changed. And the only way I could describe it to my wife was to say I felt like somebody just took a glass and put me in a little vacuum there. And I would close my eyes, and I would feel actually a physical feeling. I'd feel a tingly feeling or a sensation, and I would feel this, and I would think, what's going on? You know, I must have worked hard today, and I'm about to pass out or something. I'm going to open my eyes, man. I'm going to fall down here or something, you know. Oh, I'm not breathing enough. And I remember it going for weeks. Actually, it's probably longer than that, months. Started believing that I had some sort of a disorder that had come upon me, because I was feeling woozy in this church service every time I'd go. And I began to think, well, you're not breathing right or something. You know, you're not getting enough oxygen. That's why you feel like you do. And so, I mean, folks, nobody was there to tell me. I mean, I went into service to stay there for a minute, and then I left, jumped in the truck, and tore home, you know, and then I was on the ranch all week. And so, I wasn't around anybody. I didn't have any of my friends. Nobody could tell me and talk like we can talk now. And I would just sit there, and I'd go home and say, man, there's something wrong with me, Lord. I'd pray about it. I said, I'm not breathing. There's something wrong with my lungs, man. I feel lightheaded, all tingly when I start singing praise songs to Jesus. I don't know what this is about. And then, you know, this kept happening. And then finally one day I told somebody, and they started laughing and said, well, man, have you ever, you know, known that fellow the presence of God? I said, what do you mean the presence of God? I mean, I know the presence of my wife, presence of my dog, presence of my kids, you know. What are you talking about, presence of God? Man, I don't know about talking about presence of God. So they began to tell me, well, you're praising God, you're worshiping God, and the Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. So Jesus is there with you, and that's what you're sensing. You're, for the first time in your life, sensing the presence of God. I said, really? I said, I thought I was going to pass out. Trying to get a deep breath, I thought I was going down. But you see what I'm saying here is that we don't realize what's in us. I didn't know. Okay, let me read on through here. Verse 13, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. I also believe, therefore we speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with him. For all things are for your sake, that the grace having spread through many may cause thanksgiving to abound in the glory of God. Now look, let's read on, 16, 17, 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, but our inward man is being renewed day by day. See, he's talking about the inward man. That's what he's talking about. The spirit man on the inside of you is being, because you're building yourself. So the flesh may be getting older, but the spirit's getting stronger. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, is working for us far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. For while we do not look at the things which are seen, but we look at the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You have to get yourself over into the realm to where you're not walking based upon what your eyeballs see. Because if you live by what you see, you are always going to be soulishly, mentally affected by. Your knowledge is going to say, oh my gosh, this isn't going to be good, right? Have you ever, you know, the human body is so amazing. And have you ever just like, you're somewhere and you get a smell of something? And then, you know, and it takes off, sets off all these things in your mind. And you may even go back and think about, oh, man, it smells just like, I remember when you used to go to my grandmother's house. Or, you know what I'm talking about? I mean, things that you would never really come again. You get a smell and you just go off, your mind goes off. Folks, listen, that's all well and great. But if you're looking and you're seeing, you're using your senses to try to live for Jesus, you're going to fall short because you cannot look at everything that is seen on this earth is temporal. It's subject to change. Right? But the things that are not seen, what's he talking about, the things that are not seen? All those things that are not in this physical world, but they're still real. Is salvation real? But you can't see it, you can't touch it, you can't put it out on a plate. Right? You can't sit down somebody for a meal and slide it out and open up take the little top off and say, hey, you want a big old dose of salvation here? But it's real, but you can't see it. The things that are seen, though, are temporal, the subject has changed, but the things that are unseen, they're eternal. So, my point about walking in faith and walking by the Spirit here is that it is not something that's for just now, the time being, it's forever. And I don't know how it works. I do not, it's one of those things I've always had on the back burner. I don't know how it works. I don't know if you enter in, you leave this earthly body and you enter into the pearly gates and then you just know everything, but I don't really think so. The reason why I don't think so is because the Bible talks about witnesses and teachers in heaven. So why would there be teachers in heaven unless there were students? So you may be in Moses 101 when you get to heaven. Right? And then you can look at him and say, I always thought you'd look more like Charlton Heston. You know? And then you move your way on up and then you finally get into Isaiah. You know, Nehemiah. Folks, you're still going to be learning. But when you enter into it, the difference is going to be when you enter into heaven, then the things that have been unseen are going to be seen. Right? So, I'm going to quit right now. And take up next week about the things of the Spirit. Because until you get this down, you're not going to walk in physical healing. Because physical healing, you got to touch it by the Spirit before you can touch it by the physical. By the body. Healing's spiritual. It manifests physically, but it's spiritual. When faith touched the realm of the spirit and the promise of God is acted upon or invoked, then what happened took place in the spirit then ends up manifesting in the flesh. Amen? Look at the person beside you and say, hey, let's walk in the spirit. Let's walk by faith. Amen? Well, praise God.